is the Go Blue Crew. Hello and welcome into the Go Blue Crew. I'm Tyler Fenwick with Derek Devine. Derek, you have been overseas for, is it 2 or 3 months now at this point? Welcome back.
Thank you.
You missed a lot.
I did.
But as we were talking about before we hit go, you had a really unique way of consuming the news over there in Japan when it comes to Jim Harbaugh sign stealing. I thought it was really interesting and maybe a way for all of us to at least consider joining before, you know, so we don't scroll ourselves to death. What'd you do?
Yeah, so naturally, being 13 hours ahead, the normal news day happened overnight for me. So when I was waking up 7, 8, 9 a.m. in Japan, it was, 7, 8, 9, or 9 p.m. The day previous in the old United States. So the whole news cycle per day happened overnight. And so naturally, the first thing I did in Japan, yes, in bed, was go to Twitter and see what the latest was with all the Michigan football, Jim Harbaugh, sign stealing, whatever you want to call this. And I would say it was a nice, like, I think that's how the For You version of Twitter or X is supposed to be used. I think it's more meant for what you've missed in the last several hours. Obviously, you've got the normal timeline, but yeah, I mean, I was able to sleep at peace knowing that I'll get a whole day's worth of news in about 5 minutes. And so maybe my recommendation is we all try that. Let's put Twitter aside.
It sounds like the newspaper.
Yeah, it's like the old school, you know, put it aside and then 5 p.m., 6 p.m., your work day is done. Hop on social, do some scrolling and see what happened during the day. Because, you know, what I've already done since being back is I feel like I'm refreshing social media and the blogs and you name it. Often just to see, you know, what the newest is, and kind of sad that I spend that much time doing that. So yeah, I mentioned that to you pre-game. Now, do I do that? Do I go all of tomorrow without looking at a single thing? Probably not. I'll get a notification on my phone if something major happens from about 17 outlets, including The Athletic. So
yeah, I'm in the same boat. I know what you mean. Maybe we should touch more grass. That's the lesson here. Last time we talked about this whole sign stealing thing, it was so new. I think we
just happened.
Did a show like the day,
the same day.
Yahoo reported that. And so we didn't have a whole lot to talk about. It was like a lot of speculation. But I remember we kind of were going in the direction of like, it seems like this is bigger than what's coming out right now. Like, there's no way when you combine in-person scouting and there's an allegation of sign stealing, the next logical jump there was like, okay, Michigan is somehow doing something illegal to get other teams' signs. That's exactly where we are. We've got this fella named Stallions. What's his first name? I forget it.
Connor.
Is it Connor?
Yeah.
Connor Stallions. What a name, by the way. It's a shame that he's caught up in the middle of this. That's a fantastic name. buying tickets, attending opponent games conveniently right on the 40 to 50 yard line, all on a $55,000 a year salary. I'd love to know who he's using for money management. If he has an app that's particularly useful.
Probably Rocket Money.
Rocket Money is a good one. I wonder if you took that Dave Ramsey course.
That's also a possibility.
He's going to call on the radio show. Dave, I'm $40,000 in debt. What are you doing with that, Connor? How did you end up with debt?
Dave always asks. He always asks how someone gets into those situations. Wow, stealing signs.
I attend every Big Ten game.
I think
on the 50-yard line.
What's crazy about, I mean, I kind of feel for this dude's just personal life. Let's get things straight. If there's something completely wrong happened, punishment is deserved. But I do feel bad for him as a human. His face all over the internet. Was he at the CMU game? Is this him behind Don Brown? Why wasn't his stuff working with Don Brown? Or did Don Brown not listen to him? There's a lot of different takes. It comes out in waves. You know, I think everybody at ESPN yesterday was ban him forever. And now you've got the Fox guys, Joel Klatt, Tim Brando, Urban Meyer even recently. You got Maurice Claret kind of taking this approach of like, hey, you could find something in every school. It's an interesting time to see all the media takes. I think that was my advantage of kind of missing it all during what was my overnight period, is I really could just choose to sift through what I felt like was legitimate or important. Whereas if you're kind of going throughout the day, I mean, you can't keep from seeing, especially on that For You tab, some of the most outlandish comments, opinions, you know, personal investigations. I mean,
I want to talk about that.
I mean,
stuff.
It's absolutely crazy how many people are invested just beyond general media, and mostly from opposing fan bases, how much time they must be spending going through old game film to try to find this dude. A lot of people have a lot of time on their hands. That's what I've learned. And but I believe that we'll learn something sooner than later. And, you know, this is 6 p.m. on a Thursday, a couple of days before, you know, just over 48 hours before Michigan plays next. And with our luck, something will drop as soon as we end our recording. So
that's absolutely going to happen.
And I hope it does. I'd rather just get this thing over with.
Keep going. Each little nugget that comes out, I mean, it's a soap opera. And especially when we got to the whole CMU thing. I mean, it's Connor Stallions on the sideline of Central Michigan when they're playing Michigan State. Like, who could dream that stuff up? That is, like, really good writing. I love it. Not really. I don't. I want to go back to the crazy takes, though, because that's what's pissing me off about this whole thing. It is way too easy to find people who refuse to accept or even acknowledge any kind of wrongdoing here. It's the whole thing's a witch hunt. It's a concoction of ESPN. It's Michigan's enemies, whatever. Let the coaches talk like that. I mean, that's what coaches say, especially, you know, Jim Harbaugh's got the whole line about our enemies, and he's been using that one for years. It's not just about this. We're not beholden to the program, you know. We're just like people who live lives and happen to be fans of Michigan football. It makes us as fans look really bad, I think, when there is that total stubbornness and refusal, like I said, to just acknowledge the fact that something pretty bad happened here. And if I had to guess, and maybe we get into this, maybe we don't, I don't know. If I had to guess, like the fallout, the consequences is not going to be minimal, whether it comes sooner or later. That's like the trajectory we're on here. And so the blogs, I think, have been especially guilty of this. You know, all bad news. You're just not reading it right. If your opponent breaks a rule, they're lifelong cheaters. We knew that. If your favorite team breaks a rule, the rule was stupid to begin with, and the NCAA is dumb. I'm just like, are we children? Is this what it's come to? We need to be able to have a real frank conversation about what Michigan has done here. And I know there are lots of details to fill in, but what we got already, I think, is plenty enough to say Michigan's in the wrong. Now let's just figure out who's responsible, why, that kind of stuff. We don't need to have this debate about is it cheating or did Michigan get an advantage. Totally beside the point. It doesn't matter if Michigan got an advantage. What matters is you did it. Derek, this is a bad example, but I'm going to use it anyway. If you go try to cheat on your wife and you're unsuccessful, is that a good defense?
No.
No. No. So that clip rolls of Connor Stallions apparently telling Jesse Minter, you know, against Ohio State, here's what's going on. Okay, Michigan now knows it's a pass. Ohio State scored. See a lot of people. Well, it didn't even work. That's beside the point. it happened. Like, that's what matters. There was an attempt to cheat. That's what matters. So I'll get off my little pedestal there. I've just been, for the last couple of weeks, just so annoyed, especially scrolling through Twitter. And it's another good reason to take your little bit of a forced approach, being on the other side of the world. Maybe I should just look at it less.
I think it's the drawing conclusions without any sort of, and not saying this as a defense of nothing's happened, but it's just the amount of people who are taking a video clip, even just from the size of like, look, someone's in Jesse Minter's ear. Obviously he knew what was going to happen. And then, you know, what you said of, well, doesn't even matter. They scored anyway. You got the Deion Sanders approach of, hey, you know, you could know exactly what somebody's running. You still have to stop them, and vice
versa.
True,
but not a good defense.
And so there's a lot of different angles to take. I think the thing that people are having trouble with is, I mean, you've got people in coaches' ears all the time. And so any video that's going to show this dude anywhere near a coach is automatically, okay, you know, he knew exactly what the sign was. You know, you're assuming that this whole thing is been so successful that it's the main reason they've had success, which then I feel like that takes away from the players and maybe why some of the players the few that have mentioned something are, you know, pretty frustrated and agitated by all this. The other thing that I can't stop thinking about, and for me, a little bit like a Greg Schiano moment where you think back to what he said and like some things out there aren't right. And a lot of people assumed that's what he was talking about. I found it fascinating thinking back on Jim Harbaugh's comments on Grant Newsom up in the box or on the sideline where, you know, he's really got something that a lot of coaches don't have this early or at all, where he can diagnose a play before it even happens and make a call to prepare the coaches and the team to be in a good position. And it just felt like that was, and again, and this isn't a comment of, you know, I don't think Harbaugh knew what was going on. Just a very interesting, here's a guy who he believes is one step ahead on game day and attributes, you know, a lot of the success to many coaches that, you know, are like that on the squad. But, you know, is Grant Newsom a guy who has an edge because of things that he knows? And so it just is, it's odd timing for that comment from Harbaugh for me of, and you know, it could be completely unrelated that Grant Newsom really does have an eye for the game. And, you know, there are obviously some real time decision-making, whether you have a clue of what they're going to run or not. And so this thing's just all over the place. It feels like it's media versus media. It's blog versus blog, fan versus fan. It's so political. It just reminds you of everything we hate about the political system we have here. And it's like you have to take a side, and by not taking a side, by not saying something, I think that's where the Joel Klatt, the Rich Eisens, you know, the Charles Woodsons, who finally have had to say something, even Urban Meyer, who said, I'm only going to tell it to you two because, you know, I trust you guys and this is my show. He knows that's going to go out for everybody to hear. And so you almost have to make, like Stephen A. Smith, you almost have to make a point to mention this and give your feedback. And then you're obviously going to share that the Big Ten's coming together. But yeah, I mean, also like a political climate, and this is what you're going to see anytime. It's very much cancel culture from the rival fan bases. And then very much, this isn't even a big deal from your own fan base. And so it's exhausting. And I've joked a few times.
You're rubbing your eyes as you said that, by
I'm
the
also kind of, you know, dealing with the time delay change.
Oh, that's true. Okay.
I said this a lot to people, just kind of joking, but also serious. Kind of purposely planned a trip for a bye week, right? You know, I don't have to worry about the Michigan game. I've watched games at 2 a.m. local time in the last couple of years. Man, in terms of like a Michigan football happening, it's going to be less relaxing. But, you know, with the time difference and just the ability to unplug in general, I feel like I probably missed most of the crazy fan stuff, you know, for a good 10 days or so. But now, since nothing's figured out and everything's still mostly accusations and waiting to be identified and investigated, and find the real truth to it. You know, now I'm right back into the thick of, you know, way more opinions than I need to read in any given day.
Are people in Japan talking about this?
You know what? No, but it is their World Series, and that's probably the only reason why it's not top of mind.
Okay. You made the best point, I think, that could come out of this so far, which is that it's politics. Like, politics is everything. Everything is politics. This resembles exactly a political climate. I know you can imagine probably pretty accurately what the Michigan fan base would look like if the tables are turned in this Ohio State getting caught up in a little bit of a cheating scandal. Then this would not be a discussion about, well, did they really gain an advantage, or the NCAA, you know how they are. No, that would be total affirmation of what we knew all along in our hearts, that Ohio State is a bunch of worthless cheaters, and here's just Exhibit A. And we can go back through time forever and find other examples of this. Okay. Let me calm down. Do you want to spend a couple minutes maybe talking about Michigan and Purdue?
Yeah, let's go with that.
Michigan does play a football game this weekend.
Let me say, like, and why. I think it's exhausting. It is really, you know, at a lot of levels, people who get paid to do this and people who do this, you know, volunteering. That's a lot of people talking about a whole lot of nothing they know about. But you can't not mention it. Like, you can't put any content out that doesn't, you know, you can't ignore it, I guess is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. And that's where you see, you know, people with the verified badges, with the names, you know, almost in this position again to have to make a climate or a comment, which is a very political climate. You know, Joel Klatt can't go without saying something. And I would imagine most broadcasts this weekend will continue to talk about it, whether it's a Michigan broadcast or not, especially the Big Ten ones.
Oh, absolutely.
I was last two Saturdays ago when Michigan played Michigan State, which we could also, you know, spend a few minutes on that. I was at my dad was going into the high school Hall of Fame. And so I missed the first, you know, then we talked about this. I was going to miss the first quarter or so. Well, of course, you know, I tune in, Michigan's up 14-0, easily goes up 21-0 after that. But I after my dad, you know, kind of gave a speech and stuff, you know, he kind of asked the score. He was really worried about missing the game himself. And I said, you know what? You're not missing much. Michigan's dominating. And honestly, it's probably better that we're not hearing all the commentary pregame and early game of all this Michigan stuff.
You're right.
And so I'm not a guy who usually watches on mute. I won't watch on mute on Saturday. Well, in fact, I'm going. So I guess technically I won't hear any audio. So I guess I'm glad I'm there. I don't have to deal with the continued, oh, well, we have to do, you know, in our open, we have to mention this. And so I'm personally looking forward to just being there, hopefully watching good, hopefully still meaningful football, and just kind of stepping aside from, you know, kind of this chatter, because the whole timeline during, before and after the game is, I'm sure, going to be just amidst the scandal always. And so, yeah, I mean, why don't we talk about Michigan State first?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. That was an absolute thrash.
Was anything surprising to you?
The only surprising thing to me, and this is a good thing, is that, remember I said I'd be disappointed if something stupid happens?
Yep.
Some dumb stuff happened, but it, like, nothing really got out of hand. And that I thought it would. I thought for sure that would happen. So that's what surprised me. But nothing about really the result.
Yeah, I mean, I felt like it could be that dominant. I was kind of wondering how Michigan would come out, or just more so how Michigan State would play, you know, hosting a top team in the nation in a rivalry game, but just so unevenly matched to the point where it couldn't have been fun for even an average fan to watch. The most surprising thing to me, I'd say, was just, you know, not J.J. McCarthy's play, but just the stats. In a game where it felt like he probably could have gotten away with just running it a lot more, it really felt like a, here, let's put J.J. McCarthy on the Heisman map in a more solidified form. And oh, by the way, yeah. he's still not going to play a fourth quarter, but he's going to get his touchdowns and stats right. in before that. And so just at the level they threw the ball, his efficiency, the way he's continued to shine, you really can't pick apart anything. And if you had to, it would be, you know, they finally ran into some penalty trouble. But again, game was pretty much in hand early. Michigan played really clean football in terms of avoiding the boneheaded plays. Michigan State had a really tough one in there with you know, kind of the helmet to guy in the ground helmet drive, whatever you want to call that.
Right.
But no tunnel incident. You know, nothing to pile on to this NCAA sign stealing investigation, at least. So, yeah, if you're a Michigan fan, you loved every minute of it. If you're a Michigan State or average college football fan, it was about the most boring game you've watched.
Which is good. Boring is good. Michigan Purdue is a 7:30 NBC game. You're going to be there, Derek?
No. Nighttime, okay. Prime time ESPN. Against a prime time opponent, right?
Hell yeah, man. Because ESPN analytics has given Purdue all of a 2.4% chance of winning this.
Is that higher than Michigan State? Maybe a little bit lower.
I don't remember. I don't know if I looked, but obviously a low number. Purdue's 2-6.
Can't believe you're still
using
the
Big Ten
after all their comments about your favorite team. That's probably actually there's probably someone out there that feels that way.
There's probably somebody out there totally boycotting
ESPN.
They've
unsaved
not
the tab
just like,
for Michigan football. And now they use CBS Sportsnet.
Uh-huh. And they watch only CBS Sportsnet, too. They're done with College Game Day. They're going to head over to Big Noon Fox, the kickoff show, whatever that's called.
I think Big Noon.
They're done with ESPN.
I think you nailed it. Big Noon on Fox.
That shows that I have not actually watched that program. But that's neither here nor there. Purdue, their last five, Derek, they've lost to Nebraska, Ohio State, and Iowa. Two of those losses, not necessarily bad. You'd like to beat Nebraska. They did beat Illinois 44-19. That was in September. I about choked on something. That was in September. Not a great team, and one Michigan should handle pretty easily, which, getting back to what you were talking about earlier, probably lends itself to a long discussion during the broadcast about the NCAA investigation. I expect we're going to hear more and more about possible Big Ten involvement as a conference. That's a little dicey. They don't necessarily have to wait on or defer to the NCAA, though you expect they might, but who knows? So as a somebody who will be watching the NBC broadcast, I totally expect to have to hear a lot of that stuff. But what are you looking for on the field for Michigan?
First off the field, looking forward to a text after each quarter from you with maybe a rating scale of how bad, good, often the scandals are mentioned.
1 to 10.
1 to 10, 10 being that's all they've talked about in the first quarter. Because I do think if the game gets out of hand, I can picture the whole second half being in the, you know, high sevens, eights.
They won't even show the game anymore.
Why not just show Connor Salyans on each sideline?
Oh, yeah. I was going to mention, this is a 7:30 game. And Derek, I was wondering, if you were in charge of the sign-stealing operation, would you try to swing Penn State at Maryland? That's a 3:30 game. Or would you go to Piscataway to watch Ohio State play Rutgers? The bonus here for Penn State Maryland is obviously you get both opponents. Michigan still has to play.
But
that's a tough. How do you get back to Ann Arbor? Right.
And how do you videotape both sidelines as one individual? Well, you have a vast network of spies is what you do. So I'll answer that the way I would do it. I'd be at every Big Ten game this weekend. I don't care if you're 1-4 Illinois, who's not even on the schedule. I'm there because I want to know their signs in advance.
You're going to Illinois at Minnesota.
The schedule just came out too. I don't know if either of those teams, Minnesota's on the schedule. I'm looking at Minnesota signs for next year.
Do you want to, Do you want to, I lost my train of thought. Give a prediction, dabble in a little bit of next year's conference schedule.
5 home games in a row. And what, like 7 home games and 4 away? I mean, it seemed really lopsided, to be honest. Here it is. You've got a, 5 home in a row, away at Washington, away at Illinois, Michigan State, Oregon at home, away at Indiana, Northwestern home, away at Ohio State.
Two bye weeks. By the way,
so it's you know, my feedback is canceled. They probably had to forfeit the whole season, right? Now on the real, I see plenty of wins, but you see a lot of marquee matchups more than really any season you've ever seen before.
First 3 conference games are newcomers, USC and Washington. That's going to be a lot of fun.
And 2 of the newcomers. I guess 3 out of the 4 newcomers are, college football playoff caliber teams, at least lately. And UCLA, a team who maybe, moving to the Big Ten really shakes things up and gives them an opportunity. But yeah, and then you've got Texas on the schedule, home, which is nice. But
don't sleep on November 9th at Indiana.
Always a tough place to play. You will die on that horse.
Not anymore.
What's crazy, and this is kind of the first thing I look at, is this is a schedule that you don't know what's going to happen with all this NCAA stuff. But the Big Ten, you'll do. You don't know if Harbaugh's back. You're assuming J.J. McCarthy's not back. Maybe they go out and get a transfer quarterback. A lot of unknowns. But compared to this year, you're looking at a schedule where it's not unrealistic to see 2-3 in the first 5 games.
No, you're totally right.
And that's no disrespect to, some of the 6 games, I guess it is. But, Texas SC and Washington on the road, I don't care if you start your first 5 at home. You've got to go play game 6 at Washington. And then, all you have after that is, a couple of rivalry games, a new matchup against Oregon. I mean, and then, my goodness, that away game in Indiana, talk about a trap game.
Because you're going to go into a bye week after that. At that point, November 9th, I don't have Indiana's schedule in front of me. They might have a few wins. You do not want to sleep on that Hoosier team, okay?
A 3-7?
3-7 would probably line up.
3-7 Indiana team on November 9th? Dangerous. And you know what? I feel bad that Northwestern has to be a home game, because you could play the game at Northwestern and still be a home game. So, tough luck. Tough luck there. They actually have to travel instead of just watch fans take over their stadium. But early impressions, cool to have the dates. As a fan, you get to kind of look into what game do you really want to go to. Awesome to see so many marquee matchups by October 5th in a season where we've had to wait till November for meaningful football. And so you will find a lot of good games, tough matchups next year. And Purdue got one of them. And so I think, to circle back to Purdue, don't think Purdue will be a challenge. I don't think it will be quite the run over per se that you saw against Michigan State. Cause I do think Purdue is a better team than Michigan State. But it's going to get out of hand early.
What's your prediction?
I'm going to go with, we'll do 49-7.
I would call that a running over.
No, they scored though. Not every team can say they scored a touchdown against Michigan.
I'm going out on a limb because I do think they're going to run over Purdue. I think based on the way they played against Michigan State, when the whole world was talking about them being just a bunch of cheaters, illegitimate, and that's on top of the week schedule talk that already existed, I see Michigan going out and laying it on Purdue. I'm like 55-3.
Like I saw someone say it could be a Rutgers-esque of like 75-78-0. I think that's a little
and it's got nothing,
extreme, but I'm with you.
A little, yeah. It's got nothing to do with – I'm not making a statement about Purdue. I know they're not that good, but I'm not saying Michigan's going to beat up on just a really bad team. I just think they've kind of shown that resolve to go play really well despite all the distractions. And if you go out and just absolutely hammer Purdue, I mean, whatever kind of a statement is possible there, you've done it. Now, if you go win 24-14, maybe that's a conversation, but I think Michigan really lays it on.
If it's 24-14, you can assume that all this stuff is actually really affecting coaches and players. Yeah. Then you're as guilty as can be probably at that point.
Right, because the
signs didn't work.
Uh-huh. It's no longer available.
I mean, the narrative, yeah, if this is close in any standard is, I'll get right into the newer segment. Disappointed if J.J. McCarthy throws an interception. I think he's played really flawless football outside of the one night game where he didn't. Likely to make a mistake. He's not going to, you know, you're not going to be able to, like Harbaugh said, compare touchdowns and completions. But his three interceptions all came in one game, all under the new lights at Michigan Stadium. And so if there's actually something there of that environment or that lighting structure or just, you know, things get into his head after a whole day of, you know, he can't meditate all day. So, you know, is a night game a little harder for a guy like a J.J. McCarthy? I'll be disappointed if he throws an interception because I think it will be really reminiscent of the Bowling Green night game where he had three.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll be disappointed if the broadcast conversation is not primarily about the NCAA investigation in the second quarter. That means it's too close of a game. I want to hear all about the investigation at about the 5, 6, 7 minute mark of the second quarter. Let me know, you know, it's 35-3 at that point. All right, we're going to stop calling the game a true play-by-play. What are your thoughts on the NCAA investigation? I hope it turns into one of those.
It's NBC, right? So it's probably the same, too, that it's the Big Ten primetime NBC. So a couple of guys get to pick up right where they left off 2 weeks ago, at least in terms of calling Michigan football. So, yeah, I guess we'll see another night game, another opportunity to add to the winning streak, the season, but you know, as you mentioned, obviously also going to be full of conversations that I think many of us are just ready to, like, let's see some sort of end of this.
Yeah.
But we'll see.
We're going to get back and keep talking about it, I'm sure. So we won't live up to our hopes and dreams there next week. And then we're getting ready, Derek, for the actual meat of the schedule. Hey,
football actually coming around, starting.
Football. Yeah, football starts November 11th at Penn State. What a showdown that's going to be. I'm not entirely impressed with Penn State, but we'll talk about all that next week. Until then, take care out there.
Go Blue.
Go Blue.